Turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading at verse 28. Numbers 13, 28. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we read the word, I just want to tell you something that happened to me this week. It was one night after work, and I got home from work, and, you know, there's the routine of letting the dogs out as we arrive home, and, of course, they, you know, run to greet you and then run to the back door, and you let them out, and you put food in their bowl, and you know, one of those things is going upstairs, and I got to the top of the stairs, and I felt a heaviness on me as I begin to think about my loved ones and knowing how late it is. And I think we can relate to that. And I begin to say, Lord, save my loved ones. I begin to call out names. But with that burden, there was this heaviness, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, this is a spirit of dread. And he was right. I mean, obviously, he's God. He's always right. But, you know, there is a difference between having a burden and then having a spirit of dread or fear. And we want to see our loved ones saved, but a spirit of dread or fear is not from God. Can I get an amen? So, with that in mind, that is the subject of our message today. Again, Numbers 13, 28, we read, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, just to remind you what's happening in this text, the children of Israel came to the perimeter, the edge of the promised land, set in 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they came back with this report. And they said, in fact, let's back up to verse 27. They told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now, if you remember correctly, they carried grapes across a board between two shoulders of men. That's how big the grapes were. Can you imagine seeing a grape as big as a cantaloupe? I don't know how big they were, but, I mean, we're talking about the promised land. You would expect that, right? But then they go on to say, nevertheless, the people who dwell there in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Anak, of course, being the descendants of the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Thank God for Joshua and Caleb. And you know what? It's a sad reality that about 2 out of 12, which reduces to 1 out of 6, which is about 16% of the people of God, have the faith to possess the land. Think about it. Now, I'm not saying 16% of you guys, because the name on this building says faith, doesn't it? Right? But when you think about the totality of the body of Christ, it's sad to say that the majority of them, when they really face the giants in their life, are fearful. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And really, when you think about this great old Bible story, it's just one of those sad chapters in the history of Israel that delayed the blessing of God another 38 years. It not only delayed the blessing of God 38 years, it required God to exterminate, and that's probably the best word you could use, for those 10 men and the followers of those 10 men who spoke doubt, fear, and unbelief, because they doubt, fear, and unbelief never enters the promised land. It never does. You won't get into God's kingdom, you won't get into God's riches, you won't get into God's blessing with a spirit of fear. It requires faith. Now, the spirit of dread is sent by the enemy to prevent. Everybody say prevent. Prevent is to prevent you from getting what God wants you to have. Jesus died to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is everything. It is answers to prayer. It is financial blessings. It is health. It is prosperity. It is great faith. It is overcoming victory. It's all of these things. But the spirit of the enemy comes to prevent you from receiving. And it's moving through the body of Christ with an assignment to prevent growth, to prevent boldness, to prevent courage, to prevent breakthrough, to prevent new ground, and to prevent extension. Do you know what extension is? Extension is where the church grows so big that we grow another pastor out of it and another church springs from ours. That's extension, right? We have an extension, right? And that is the vision that God wants us to have. And it's not just the church. It's you. It's your family. It's your loved ones getting saved and going off and being evangelists or missionaries or pastors. It's an extension of you. It's extension of your faith. It's extension of your ministry. It's extension of your love for Jesus Christ. And so this spirit of dread comes to prevent growth, boldness, courage, breakthrough, new ground, and extension of the people of God and of the kingdom of God through disabling the saints with dread. Now, we know what disable is. We see disability signs for people to park. You know, it really irks me. Have you ever seen anybody at Walmart park in one of those disabled places and then run in? Now, maybe they're using Grandpa's car, and because he has a tag, they feel they can do that. But when they do that, they're preventing someone who really needs that from using it. And that's sad. And so the spirit of dread comes to disable the saints. And when you have a disability, you are hindered from being able to function the way God created you to function. And so that's what this spirit does. But we are to stay positioned, stay in the Word. Can I get an amen? And stand against the dread. When the Spirit of the Lord told me this is a spirit of dread, right then I just got spitting mad. You know, sometimes I have to get mad at the devil to be most effective. I preach my best sermons when I'm mad at the devil. I'm more evangelistic when I'm mad at the devil. I mean, I'm more bold when I'm mad at the devil. And the stupid devil, go ahead and say it, Nola. Yeah, the idiot comes and tries to bring a spirit of dread on me, and when the Lord tells me what it is, it backfires on him, because then he gets my shoulders squared and we go at it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we need to stay positioned, stay in the Word, and stand against the spirit of dread. And if we do, the Lord said, suddenly, say suddenly with me. Now what did I have you say before? Prevent, right? The Spirit comes to prevent. The Lord comes suddenly, and he will grab the spirit of dread by the neck and turn it on its head. Ooh, spirit of dread on your head, right? Take it home with you. Spirit of dread on your head. The spirit of dread may have come against God's people to prevent, but he is turning the prevention into ascension. The spirit of prevention will be turned into ascension. My aim, my goal is higher ground. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. My aim, my goal is higher ground. The spirit of prevention is turning into ascension. If we're not taking ground, if we are not going forward, we are not standing still. You will slide backwards. You're either going forward or backward. There is no standing still for a child of God. Do you know why that is? Because we are going against the current. Have you ever tried to swim in a river where there's current? If you stand still, you don't stand still, do you? You go backwards. And any dead fish can float downstream. It takes one with a backbone to go against the current. Amen? So we are going against the current of the world. We're going against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We cannot stand still. We must press on. We must move on to higher ground. And the Spirit of the Lord is turning the prevention into ascension. All right. Now in Exodus 14:14, they forgot in our text, they forgot what God said in Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. Say that with me. The Lord will fight for you. You see, it's one thing to understand that the devil may have your loved ones in a snare. It's one thing to understand that the promised land is filled with giants. But it's another thing to forget that you're not the one fighting it. Amen? Because when you remember that the Lord will fight for you, then you just say, well, devil, it's not my problem. You talking to me? You're talking to the wrong guy. My big brother Jesus defeated you 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary, and the Lord will fight for me. He's got my back. He's on my side. He's the victor. Take it up with him. Well, that's a way to send the devil running, isn't it? Stupid devil. Got to put a spirit of dread on me. No weapon that is formed against you shall succeed. You shall refuse every tongue that rises against you in judgment, especially the devil. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord and the vindication from me, declares the Lord. This is given to you from the Lord. He's promised that. Now, many look at the giants as the reason why they didn't enter the promised land. And it wasn't the giants. It was not the giants. It was the spirit that occupied the land. It attached itself to them. That's why it's so important that we keep ourselves clean and be careful where we go. Because you go into some of these lands, these areas, where the spirits of these things are, they will attach themselves to you. And so, yes, there was giants in the land, but it was the spirit of fear and the spirit of dread that attached itself to them. And so it wasn't the giants. I mean, look at the story. They haven't even went into the land, and already they're quitting because they never faced the giants. It was the spirit of dread from the land that came upon them. Now, the most prominent area where they went to was Hebron. The area of Hebron actually means the city of four, and it also means seat of association. It's where the patriarchs in the past history were buried. It's where Abraham was buried, where Sarah was buried, where Isaac was buried, where Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah were all buried in Hebron. And what does that mean? It represents the past glory. This is the past glory. This is the old time revivals we were talking about in Sunday school. This was the godly seed. This was the inheritance. And it's where we want to go back to. We want to see those old time revivals. We want to see the Spirit of God move. We want to see people genuinely slain in the Spirit and feel the presence of God begin to sweep through our land. But there is a spirit of dread that has come upon the body of Christ, and it has inhabited that land of our grandparents, that Abrahamic blessing that once existed in the land, and it is hindering us from receiving what God wants the church to have. It's where the Holy Ghost fire once fell. It's our parents, our grandparents' era. And it's dead and it's cold and sin is lurking in its recesses. The devil has built a stronghold there, always where the Spirit once was. That's where he builds his stronghold. He does not want that same thing to come back again. He doesn't want revival. He doesn't want renewal, regeneration. He doesn't want to see people saved. And so he builds his strongholds in the land that once was occupied by the people of God, Hebron. But that is where God wants to do it again. God can do it again. Say that with me. God can do it again. He can do it again. I'm not satisfied with hearing the stories of those old days. I want to see them again, don't you? And because I want to see them again, I have faith that God can do it again. But it's going to take more than Sunday morning church to see it happen. It's going to take men and women of God who rise up in their spirit against the spirit of dread and begin to cast it out and begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to declare that God is going to cause us to ascend to a new level, a higher ground against the spirit of dread and cast out these demons and lying spirits in Jesus' name. So, remember now that it was the 10 spies, the 10 out of 12, that allowed the Spirit to come on them and influence others, and these 10 men were judged by God. That should cause a certain degree of holy fear to come on you. It sure does me. Because had the Lord not said to me, this is a spirit of dread, I wouldn't recognized it. But that wouldn't have changed the fact that it had attached itself to me. And because it did, these men were judged by God. They were Israelites. They were in the camp of Israel. They were led by the fire by day and the cloud by night. They ate the manna. They are like the church of the Old Testament. And yet they were judged and punished and destroyed by God because they allowed the spirit of dread and fear to come upon them. So that should give us a certain degree of holy fear and say, Lord, I refuse to let that spirit have any part of me. Yes, I want to see my loved ones saved. Yes, I want to see a move of God. But it's not my job to do it. It's God's job to do it. The Lord will fight for me, and I am not going to take that spirit on me anymore. Can I get an amen? In the next chapter, 14:9, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. They are our bread. In other words, spirit of fear, spirit of intimidation, spirit of depression, I'm going to eat you up. You're my bread. You're my bread. You want to come on me? Come on. I'm going to chew you up and spit you out. They are our bread. When you start feeling that thing, say, oh, yum, yum, you're my bread. I'm going to chew you up. Yum. Don't that just make the devil mad when you start talking like that? They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. You want to see revival happen? You want to go back to Hebron where the glory days were? Start chewing up the devil and spitting him out. He is our bread. Their protection has left them. They can't do anything anymore against the children of God. These are the days. Yes. Now, let's talk about the giants. Anak and his descendants, we read that in 13:22. Anak means to choke, to strangle, as if strangled someone with a necklace. And that's what Anak wants to do. The devil wants to choke out, strangle, and suffocate the promises of God. You see, the promises never change. Every promise in the book is mine, right? The promises have not changed. It is the spirit of Anak that chokes out the promises. And instead of confessing the word, we start confessing the problem. Well, you don't know what the devil's done to me. But the child of God says, one sends 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000, many will fall at my side. They won't ever come nigh to me, right? And so we have a choice. We can quote the problem, we can quote the promise. We can quote the feeling, or we can quote the promise. We can quote the ailment, or we can quote the promise of God. Amen. By his stripes we were healed. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who's. We can quote the promise, or we can quote the problem. And but Anak, the spirit of Anak, comes in to choke and strangle out someone as with a necklace. You got the word around you, I'm going to choke you with your problems. I'm going to choke you with your symptoms. I'm going to choke it out of you. The devil wants to choke out, strangle, and suffocate the promises of God. And he often does this by a slow process. It's not an overnight thing. It's one little unanswered prayer that God's waiting to see what you're going to do. It's one little symptom. It's one little argument with a loved one. It's one little broken car. It's one little thing, and you start feeling frustrated and anxious and angry, and why is this happening to me? I'm God's child. And you get your eyes on the problem, and it's a slow choking process. It's choking the promises of God out of you. But you confront each one of those every day with the word of God. You say, hallelujah, anyhow. Ain't going to let life trouble get me down. When the troubles come my way, hold my head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Remember that? And so you begin to ascend and not descend. You begin to keep your eyes on the Lord and not on the problems. You refuse to let the devil Anak or choke out the promises of God. In Proverbs 29:18, most of us can quote it, where there is no vision, the people perish. But the Amplified Version, which often takes the word and then breaks down the definition from Hebrew and puts it in brackets, says, where there is no vision, bracket, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. And see, and that's really what the vision is. It's not about having a vision of, oh, I'm going to have a new house or a new car. It's about having the vision of the redemptive revelation of God. It's saying, what does God want to do with this? It's looking at it as not a problem, but an opportunity for the glory of God. How's God going to fix this? How's God going to turn this around? I mean, that's what God does. The devil means it for evil, but God turns it around for good. That's what he does. And so our vision has to always be, how is God going to turn this thing around to bring glory to his name? Because I know he's going to. And so the tactics and scheme that Anak's descendants, now it names Anak's descendants Ahiman, Sheshiah, and Talmai. And these descendants plan to use against the children of Israel to choke and to strangle God's promises to them. The enemy of our soul continues to use these same tactics in our lives today. And here's what Amon, A-H-I-M-A-N, Amon means to block or hinder. This stronghold wants to block and hinder the Lord's plan and purpose for your life. So if this spirit of Ahim comes, he comes to block and hinder. He creates strongholds to block and hinder the Lord's plan for the purpose of your life. So what do? You tell him where to go. You take authority over him. The second Anak is, the son of Anak is Sheshai, S-H-E-S-H-A-I, and it means to whiten or whitewash. This stronghold wants to make something look more like what it isn't, and this is what Jesus confronted with the Pharisees when he called them whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones. You see, a lot of people can look spiritual, but God knows what's on the inside. Amen? And so this spirit of Sheshai will come to you and say, "Well, you look okay. You're all right. You don't need to go down on your knees and repent and confess that secret sin." Talmai, T-A-L-M-A-I, means to accumulate. The devil wants us to be so busy accumulating material goods and getting so involved in the cares of the world and in entertainment that we don't have time. Everybody say time. We don't have time for God's purposes and God's promises. And that's so sad, but that's exactly what is the symptom of American churches today, and probably the church most of the places where there's not persecution. That's what it is. Well, I was going to go to the revival, but I had to do this. I was going to go to the prayer meeting, but I was busy doing this. And you get caught up in all of this other stuff. Deuteronomy 7:1 names the enemies of our soul. When the Lord your God brings you into the land where you go to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, and then he names them: the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Now notice the Lord, in case you didn't know it, he wants you to know, these nations are greater and mightier than you. So why do you think you can handle it on your own? Why do you think that you can live a prayerless, wordless life and think you can win victory over these seven spirits? You can't. Because God even said they're greater and mightier than you. But he does say, when the Lord your God brings you in the land to possess it and has cast out many nations, right? God's going to do the work, but you have to stay in the Word. You can't go where God doesn't exist. You have to stay connected. So let's look at these seven nations. The Jebusites means trodden down. This tribe represents those who are discouraged, overwhelmed, and defeated. There is guilt, condemnation, shame, the spirit of heaviness and depression. Christians who say, "I can't get over my past. I'm beaten down. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm trodden down. It's like a heavy cloud is over me." We need to overcome the power of condemnation, shame, and the feeling of guilt over what we've done in the past. The devil wants to overwhelm us and discourage us and continually accuse us, so that no matter what we do or how we do it and how many times we ask God to forgive us, we still feel condemned. And that's the spirit of the Jebusite. It's the Jebusite spirit. It's the spirit of being trodden down. But you know what? When we had communion last week, there wasn't a sad face in the place. Because we understand that it is not by works of righteousness, which I have done, but according to his mercy. And mercy was written 2,000 years ago in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Can't you feel the Spirit of God here? You don't need to be trodden down. You don't need to feel ashamed. Just put it under the blood and keep going. Amen. Shake that Jebusite spirit off and call it done in Jesus' name. You see, these spies with a bad report had the wrong perspective. He said the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants, we were like grasshoppers in their own sight. But the problem is you got to quit looking at things through your perspective and start seeing them from God's perspective. Amen. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than the giants. He's bigger than your depression, your discouragement, the condemnation the devil's trying to put on you. Shake it off and make the devil take it back. Number two, the Girgashites means dwellers of clay, dwellers of the marsh, comprising or living in the gray areas. Now, the gray areas Jesus spoke about in his letter to the lukewarm church. He said that, "I know your works and that you're neither cold nor hot, but I would that you were hot or cold." Compromise means something midway. And God says that if we're neither hot or cold, then we're living a compromised life. And that's the Girgashite spirit. They dwell in the marshland. They dwell in the land of compromise. And God wants us to come out of there. and maybe you're feeling like you're pulled in two directions and you feel like you have to compromise for this person or that person, I'm here to tell you that is a fatal road to go down, brother. You need to pick which road you're going on and stay on it, and don't worry about what other people think. God will take care of it. Number three, the Canaanites means materialism. And of course, this is one of the greatest enemies today, especially in Western churches. The spirit of covetousness will rob you from the promises of God. Jesus said in Matthew, and I think it was somebody in Sunday school quoted this verse, "No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one or love the other, or else you'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money." Was that you, Rhonda, that quoted? I thought it was, yeah. You can't do it. And so this materialistic spirit that has permeated in Western culture in the United States, it has crept into the churches, and everything is all about how it looks or what I got or how much I've got of this. But you know what? The greatest joy in the world is living a simplistic life. It really is. Because for everything you have, you got to dust it, you got to maintain it, and if it breaks, you got to replace it. Amen? I mean, that's just the way it is. And all of a sudden, you get caught up with the cares of the world, which Jesus said would choke the seed of the Word of God out of your life, materialism. Number four, the Hittites mean fear. They were a fierce nation that brought terror and fear in the hearts of their enemies. One of the ways that the spirit of fear works against our destiny is insecurity. When Saul was chosen the king of Israel, and it was time for him to be presented to the people, remember, he was hiding over in the bushes because he was insecure. Some people may say, well, that's just the way I am. I feel insecure. That's okay. Maybe it's the cross you have to bear. Maybe you just have an insecure spirit that you've had since a childhood. Maybe something happened to you as a child and you feel insecure. But you know what? Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. Amen. You cannot let this spirit of insecurity run your life. You cannot let it control. You cannot let it keep you down. You step out there in faith and let God fill it in. You see, in Philippians, it talks about form building. Put on the spirit of Christ. Put on holy bowels of mercy. You know what that is? It's like when you're pouring cement and you build the wooden frame around it, right? And there's nothing in it. Well, I don't feel secure. I feel insecure. Okay, well, build the frame. Put it on. You know, people say, you got to be putting me on. That's what the Bible says. Put on these spirits. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just walk in it even if you don't feel it. And then as you begin to build the form and let God begin to pour in the cement, in time, it will solidify and you'll be able to stand on the promises of God. I am not insecure anymore. I am bold as a lion. Hallelujah. The Perizzites means opened and unwalled. This tribe was a roaming tribe. Never bothered to be secure in their dwellings and buildings, walls, or cities. This open, unprotected existence represents a type of a spirit of immorality. Because, see, our morality is our walls. It's our protection. But when we begin to compromise and become immoral by what we watch on TV or on the internet or what we listen to, and when we allow that stuff to come in, our walls come down. We open ourselves up for spirits of lust and greed and anger and all sorts of evil spirits to come in. The Perizzites are the unwalled people. Number six, the Amorites mean pride, rebellion, proud boasting, bitter rebellions. The Amorites made their home in the thin air of the mountains. Amorites represent haughtiness, self-edification, unforgiveness, and self-righteous attitudes. Well, if God doesn't do it, bless God, I'll just do it myself. Sometimes people with money get this spirit. They feel like, well, I've got the money, and therefore I can do whatever I want to do, but God must be God. You do not want to allow this Amorite spirit of pride or rebellion or boasting or unforgiveness to enter in. Amen. Number seven, Hivites means lie openly. This tribe represents a type of spirit of humanism. spirit represents as like the serpent in the garden. What did he do to Eve? He lied, didn't he? Humanism was one of the strongest, if not the strongest, of all evil spirits at work in the world today. It also exhibits man's self-exaltation to the place of God. Remember, the serpent said to Eve, you can be like God, right? And so it's that, I can do it. And it's a spirit of a lie. You can't do it on your own. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. And if you will listen to him, he will lie to you. You know who the devil lies to? Anyone who listens to him. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. Don't listen to him. If he tells you that nobody loves you, don't listen to him. He's a liar. I love you. That's someone that loves you, isn't it? And so don't listen to him. He's a liar. And so remember that these are spirits behind these things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jebusites, trodden down. Girgashites, dwellers of clay in the marsh, the compromise. Canaanites, materialism. Hittites, fear, or that spirit of dread, right? Perizzites, open, unwalled, immoral. Amorites, pride, rebellion. The Hivites, about the lies. Therefore, come on up, Nola. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your confidence. You see, my confidence, my faith, is really the only weapon I have against spirits. When I start listening to them, I start dreading. When I start listening to their lies, I start fearing. But the Bible says when I do that, I'm tossing out the window my faith and confidence in God. I'm just throwing it away. It's right there. I had it an hour ago. But then this spirit came, and I just took my faith and confidence and just tossed it out the window and began to let this spirit come on me. So God says in Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Everybody say endurance. What is endurance? That means keep on keeping on. My first pastor, that was what he always said. He was from Georgia. Raj, keep on keeping on. And if you can't keep on a little longer. That's what he would say. That's Christianity in a nutshell. It's just not quitting. It's endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Isn't it a shame that some people do the will of God and never receive the promise because they get to the finish line, right 1 foot before the finish line, and they just quit because of the spirits trying to put on them? I ain't quitting, are you? I'm not quitting. He should have killed me when he had me, but it's too late now. I've got the finish line inside. I'm not quitting. You have need of endurance, he said. After you've done the will of God, that you may receive the promise for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We were not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of our soul. Those who believe to the saving of our soul. Those who don't quit. Those who keep holding on. Those who ascend and don't descend. Those who say, God, I know that you are going to fight my battles. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Noah? Feel like we ought to do something different. You got the words that I'm taking back? Yeah, let's do that. Now the story, while Nola's finding her words, you know the story. King David came back from a battle at Ziklag, him and his mighty men, and the enemy had came and kidnapped all the women and children. And if that wasn't bad enough, Then his mighty men were mad at him, and they were about ready to stone David for allowing this to happen. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. We got some giggishites in the sound system. Shut up in Jesus' name. That's right. All right. How does that start out? Let's do the chorus first. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my joy,
my dance,
my joy, my peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. One day, King David came home to a city called Ziklag. And while he was gone, the enemy came and took everything he had. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He made up his mind. He said, I'm on my way down to that camp, but I'm taking what's rightfully mine. Devil! I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me.
Taking back.
I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song.
My song.
My dance.
My dance.
My joy.
My joy.
My peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Now we all know that Satan only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And I must admit, there have been times that he's taken away my joy. But I'm serving notice on the devil today that his kingdom is under attack.
Woo!
And I'm on my way down to his camp, and I'm taking my property back. Devil! Woo! I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. I'm taking back. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Taking back my song.
My song.
My dance.
My dance.
My joy.
My joy.
My peace. I'm taking back everything that the devil stole from me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, before we go, if you have experienced some of these spirits, and I believe some of you have, I don't want you to leave here with it. Amen? I really don't. That would be a crime to leave here with that spirit. And so let's all stand, and I want to pray, and I want you to pray with me. And you, only you, can take back that confidence in God's word and cast out not your confidence, but that spirit that's been lying to you. Only you can do it. I can't do it for you. But I'm going to pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you.
Come to you.
And I believe.
I believe.
That your word.
Your word.
Is true.
Is true.
And you will fight.
Fight
for me.
For me.
I will not cast off my confidence.
Cast off my confidence.
I will have faith.
I will have faith
in the promises of God.
In the promises.
And right now, I command you, Satan, to loose your hold on my mind, my thoughts, my spirit. I command you to flee. In Jesus' name. And I receive the promises Hallelujah. Of God, which are yes,
yes. Amen.
And amen. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a hug before you go.
It went again. I